All right. So we're going to begin Masechta Tmura. So Masechta Tmura talks about the main topic of the Masechta is like this. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bechukotai twice, once in connection with general korbanos, once in connection with Ma'aseh Behema. The Torah tells us that when you have an animal for a korban, you're not allowed to exchange it for another animal. Now, you're allowed to be poided, of course. We always talk about the idea, especially when it develops a mum, that you poided, that you transfer the kedusha of it onto money, and then you use that money to buy another korban, that's fine. But to exchange one animal for another, that you're not allowed to do. And if you do, the Torah tells us, lo yachlifenu v'lo yomer oisei, you're not allowed to exchange it. You're not allowed to swap it out. Rab a good one for a bad one for a good one, meaning a tumim for a bal mum or vice versa. And if you do, v'im homer yomer behema b'behema, if you do exchange one animal for the other, v'hayahu smurote yiyakodesh, then both the original and the exchanged animal are kodesh. Which we'll see as we go through our Masechta what exactly happens. In some cases, we bring the second animal as the same type of korban as the first one. Other times, for one reason or another, we can't. And then we have various dinim what we do with it. So that's the major topic of our Masechta, is this concept of tmura. The reason behind the mitzvah, the Rambam writes the reason at the end of Hilchos Tmura. The Rambam offers a reason that a person has a yesh tahara. So if a person has designated an animal for a korban, afterwards they're likely to start second guessing. Well, maybe I shouldn't have used such an expensive animal. Maybe I should really swap it out for a cheaper one. And okay, so you could say then why can't he swap a better one for a good one? Because the Rambam says, because then if he has originally not such a good one, he swaps it out for a better one. Once you open the door, then you know it's slippery slope over here. The next time he or somebody else can have a good animal and swap it out for a bad one. Well, hey, as far as I'm concerned, this one is better. So therefore, the Torah just locks you out. No exchanges, no nothing. And if you do, then the Torah penalizes you by making them both Kurdish. This way, a person learns not to play around with kodshim. Okay. So the Mishnah begins. Hakol mimirin. Everybody is mimirin. Now, on the face of it, hakol mimirin makes it sound like everybody is allowed to be mimir, is allowed to make a tmura. So, of course, we're going to see in the Gemara, what do you mean? You're not allowed to. So everybody is mimir. Echad anoshim ve'echad noshim, both men and women, are, as we'll see in the Gemara, that mimirin means not that you're allowed to, but capable of making a tmura. We're going to have, by the way, we're going to have a lot of times in the Masechta, the expression oisin tmura, I shouldn't mention that in this connection. Oisin tmura really means whether a particular animal of kodshim has the strength of kodshim to be able for its kedusha to go and fall on another animal as well. That's oisin tmura. This is something else over here, actually. We're talking about hakol mimirin means everybody, as we see in the Mishnah and the Gemara, is capable of declaring an animal a tmura and having that designation take effect. Echad anoshim ve'echad noshim, whether men or women have that capability. And the Mishnah clarifies, when we say that everybody is mamir, we don't mean that you're allowed to be mamir. Elishim, heimim mumo, all we mean is that if you did make a tmura, then that is effective. What you did has an effect. The sofer, just how about him, however the person is going to get malchus for doing that, because he was over on an issue in the Torah. Christmas discusses over here, by the way, on the face of it. Rashi uses the expression over here, so there's a lab, lo yomer, you're not allowed to exchange. Christmas discusses over here that actually it's not necessarily so simple. On the face of it, you have two labim over there. You have lo yachlifenu and lo yomer oisei. So why does it get 80 malchus? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that maybe indeed the Mishnah does mean that you get twice Malkus, but the Mishnah is not getting into that. Right? You know, it's just saying a generic statement that if a person makes a tmura, if a person declares a tmura, they get Malkus. And now we're not getting into how many Malkus you get. Some of the Tzaisikas HaBoyim doesn't mean exactly 40, no more, 39, actually, whatever, no more, no less. It just means that a person is getting Malkus, because that's the usual expression for getting Malkus in the Mishnah. The other explanation Tosfos says is that Lo Yachol Tzomer and Lo Yomer Oisin could be talking about actually two different cases, as we'll have later on in that case. And in that case, in the normal case of Tzomer, you only Oisin on one of them. Okay. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara starts off. Hog go for Kasha. Now you have a contradiction within the words of the Mishnah. Amrit Hakol Nemirin, you start by saying Hakol Nemirin, which makes it sound like it means Lachatchila. It makes it sound like it means everybody is allowed, not just everybody is able to, but everybody is allowed to be Meimer. Because the expression Hakol Nemirin makes it sound like everybody is allowed to. And then it continues and says, not that a person is allowed to make a tzmura, Elohim Hamer Mummer, the Elohim Hamer Mummer, but just what we mean is if he made a tzmura, then b'di'evet it is Mummer, which means only b'di'evet. So what is it? Is it l'chila or is it b'di'evet? Tosfos points out, actually, there are other places in Shas where you have a similar type of phrase, Hakol. Everybody can do such and such. And the Gemara explains, we had at the beginning of Holin, for example, that Kol Shechtin doesn't mean that everybody L'chatchila can shecht, there are actually certain people who L'chatchila shouldn't be shechting. So HaKol Shechtin in and of itself can mean B'di'evet. Tosfos explains, the real question is, if we're saying later in the Mishnah, in Heimer Mumer, that if you made a Tzmura, B'di'evet, it takes effect, that's a B'di'evet already. So what would HaKol Mimir mean? On the face of it, it has to be a L'chatchila, otherwise why have two expressions? For the effort. So what is it? So the Gemara answers back, the Kisvara. So what are you thinking? Hakol Mimirin L'chatchila? You're thinking the words Hakol Mimirin mean that a person is allowed to make a tzmura to begin with? For Abitash Alach Mimas Nisin, why are you bothering to ask from the Mishnah, from the implication of the Mishnah, where you have a L'chatchila versus a B'di'evet? Kikshilach Kro, you might as well ask from the Pasuk itself. How could the first words of the Mishnah possibly be telling us something that you're allowed to be doing with a chila? If the Pasuk spells out, the Pasuk explicitly says that you're not allowed to exchange it or make a tzmura. So you can't possibly think that the words Hakol Nemirin mean that everybody is allowed to with a chila. Ella, Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Katani. So you're right. Rav Yehuda says, obviously, the first words of the Mishnah do not mean L'chatchila you're allowed to make a tzmura, because definitely you're not allowed to. First of all, the end of the Mishnah contradicts that implication, and second of all, contradicts that implication. What we mean is that everybody is capable of making the Kedusha of Tmura be toifus on an animal. Meaning, in other words, that everybody is able to make the Kedusha of Tmura be toifus on an animal. Meaning, in other words, again, that if you had animal A and you said, I'm exchanging it for animal B, that B becomes Kaddish as well. Everybody has that capability, Echad Anoshim V'Echad Noshim, both men and women. And then the mission continues. Don't think, though, that a person is allowed to make a Tzmura. In fact, if a person were to make a Tzmura, then they have created a Tzmura, but then they're also getting Malkus for what they did. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah means. Tosfos points out, you still seem to have a little bit of repetitiousness in the Mishnah. Then, if you're saying that everybody is capable of creating a tzmura, hakol matpisim the tzmura, and then you're continuing and you're saying that you're saying that if you did mumer, so that itself is a repetition. So Tosfos points out a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that it's teaching one. It's teaching us that that a person gets malchus, we wouldn't know it when we say hakol mimirin, and the Gemara is explaining that it means that hakol matpisim b'tmura, you wouldn't know from that a person is chayav malchus for it. So therefore the Mishnah therefore continues in heimer mumer v'sefer gezavoyim. The chiddush isn't so much the mumer part. That's just the main chiddush is this that sefer gezavoyim that you're getting malchus. Tosfos just gives a couple of other possibilities. Maybe what it is maybe the Chiddush is that you're able to create a Tumor of Amazing. And the reason why we would need to say that is because when it comes to Me'ilah, which is going to be the subject of the next Masech that we learn, Be'ez Hashem, there you have a difference between Shogeg and Mezid. If you do Me'ilah B'Mezid, you didn't cause that the thing, or you have a difference between Shogeg and Mezid as far as Me'ilah, whether it makes the object that you did Me'ilah on, whether it makes it no longer Hekdesh. There's a difference between Shogeg and Mezid in that. So over here, the Mishnah wants to tell us, you should be aware that a Tumura can take place in the Mezid as well as the Shogeg. Okay.
When you do Me'ilah, can you do it the Shogeg also and the Mezid?
Me'ilah is possible, the Shogeg and the Mezid, but we're going to get to in the Sechta Me'ilah that there's a difference between them. If you do it the Mezid, you get Malkus. If you do it the Shogeg, you're bringing an Asham. There's also a difference between them, there's also a difference between Me'ilah, the Shogeg, and the Mezid, whether the object loses its Kedusha. So over here, the point is, over here, the Mishnah wants to inform us, there's no such distinctions. Whether it's B'Shogeg, whether it's B'Mezid, either way, the Tumura takes an effect. Obviously, if the person did it B'Shogeg, he's not getting Malkus, but if he did it B'Mezid, then either way, the second animal is Kaddish, and if it was B'Mezid, he's additionally getting Malkus. Okay. Then we started saying Hakol Nemirin. So Hakol is Suyamai. So what is that word Hakol coming to include? The answer is, we said both men and women, so who else? The answer is Le'isu Yerush. It comes to include also an heir. If a person yarshined a korban from his father, then, if a person yarshined a korban from his father, he's able to make a tumura with it. He's able to, same way as the father himself, while he was alive, would have been able to say, I'm taking the second animal and exchanging it and exchanging it for the first one, or the other way around, whatever, and both of them would be Kaddish. The same way the Yodas of the Korban has the ability to do that also. Or the Loi Kerav Yehuda, in which case that means that this Mishnah, therefore, does not go like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not, because we learned in, because Rabbi Yehuda says that a Yodas is not able to make a Tumura. Tanya, or the Tanya, really, at the Braisa, we learned it in Menachos, we learned it at the beginning of Erechin. We learned that the says that an heir of a korban is able to do smicha on it and is able to create a smorta with it. Given a man, but if you hold on, a yodish ain't the same. Who says that not? A yodish is not able to does not do smicha on a korban, and a yodish is not able to create a smorta. Okay. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that a Yodosh is not able to do these things? Because Yalif Tchilas Hekdesh Misay Hekdesh. We have this at the beginning of Erechin most recently. You have this at the beginning of Hekdesh, which is the Tumura, where you're creating before the second animal did not have any Kedusha, and now you're putting the new Kedusha on it. That's called Tchilas Hekdesh. Say Hekdesh, meanwhile, is what happens when the animal has been designated on the carbon. Whether you're doing smichan, that's called soif hektish. So Rabbi Yehuda is learning the beginning of hektish, what is possible by a tumura. He's learning from soif hektish what is possible by smicha. Ma soif hektish yodish ena soimech. Just as when it comes to the end of hektish, when it comes to the smicha, yodish ena soimech, Rabbi Yehuda says on the basis of tzukim, that we're going to talk in a second, that a yodish does not do smicha on a korban that he inherited from his father. The same thing he says at the beginning, the Yodish can't create a Tumura either, because the beginning has to be like the end. By the way, Okay, so smicha gufa menolon. Okay, so if you're telling me, Rabbi Yehuda, that you're learning soif hektish from tchilas hektish, or the other way around, you're learning tchilas hektish, which is which is tmura. You're learning from smicha, so that means you're basing yourself on the idea that a yodish is not able to do smicha. Or smicha gufa menolon. So where does Rabbi Yehuda know smicha itself that you're not able to do that? That a yodish does not do smicha. So like this, plus karbonoi ksivi. three times in the Psukim by a Korban Shlomim, it mentions the word Korbono. By a Korban Shlomim, it starts describing how a person brings a Shlomim. You have three different cases where a person is bringing cattle or a goat or a sheep, and each time it uses the word Korbono. So each of Korbono means his Korban, so that's a meal. So we have three meals. Chad Korbono v'lo Korban over to Chavim. The first one teaches us that smicha is not done on a Korban that was brought by a goy, which Tosfos points out doesn't just mean the goy himself doesn't, that we have a different pasuk for. It means you would think maybe the Kohenim should do smicha on a Korban that a goy sent to the Mikdash. So we're saying that not. The one Korbono teaches us that. V'chad Korbono v'lo Korban Chaveri. The second Korbono teaches us that you don't do smicha on somebody else's Korban. So let's say, for example, that Reuven designated a Korban and then he sent it with Shimon to the Beis Mikdash, so Shimon does not do smicha on that Korban. V'chad Korban, v'lo Korban Aviv, and the third one teaches us that you don't do smicha on your father's Korban. So there you go, Rabbi Huda says you don't do smicha on your father's Korban. Therefore, that means so that's Sof Hekdesh. A Yodesh does not do Sof Hekdesh. And once he doesn't do Sof Hekdesh, then he doesn't do Tchilas Hekdesh either. Which would be the Tmura. So that's where we would get that a Yodish is not able to create a Tmura. Okay. Fine. All of Mayo de Oma Yodish Saimech, well, Ksiv Korbana. Okay, what is your Mayo going to do with these Tzokim? Why does he say that an heir is able to do Smicha? The answer is, Aumi Boy, Lilu Rabbis Kobale Chovrin L'Smicha. Reb Meir uses that word Korbana for something almost the other way around. Suppose you have a bunch of people chipped in and bought a Korban together. So now all of them are partners in this Korban. So all of them, says Reb Meir, have to do smicha on that Korban. Why? Because all of them, for each one of them, it's Korbanoi. For each one of them, it's his Korban. It's not completely his Korban, but it's partially his Korban at least. And therefore Reb Meir would say that all of them have to do smicha on it. So he's using one of the Korbanos for that. One of the words Korbanoi he's using for that. Okay, for Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, "Bali chovrin l'smicha lesley." He disagrees with that whole concept. He says, if partners bring chovrin together, they don't do smicha on it. My timer, the whole lami yachad chovrin they do, because just the opposite, because it's not a chovrin that's unique to any, it's not a chovrin that's specific to any one of them. So therefore, there's no reason that all of them should be doing smicha on it. Rashi in Erchin had explained that that what it means is Rabbi Yehuda would say not all of them do smicha on it, but one of them does smicha on behalf of all of them. So anyway, so that's the argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has the three times kibbutz. One of them says that it means that an heir doesn't do smicha. And when it comes to partners, not all of them are doing smicha, just one of them. And the mayor disagrees with those concepts. He says that one korbano teaches us just the opposite, that all of them have to do smicha when they're a partner. Therefore, it doesn't have to teach us anything about a Yodesh, and therefore a Yodesh does do smicha. The Iboy Sema La'olam Islay, another possibility you could say is that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that when you have a bunch of partners in a korban, all of them do smicha on it together. In that case, then you need one word korbanoi for that. Fine, the korban over to chavim, korban chaverim, mechad kronavka. After all, you could say that you're learning the korban of a goy and the korban of somebody else, a fellow yid. You could learn from the same pasuk, because after all, in both cases, it's somebody else would be doing the smicha. So you could have one korbanoi teaches us that you don't. In that case, one would teach us that you don't do it for that a yodish doesn't do it. And the third one would be that if you have a bunch of partners, then they all do smicha together. That could be also, so that's the second way we could explain Rabbi Yehuda. And the first way we could explain Rabbi Yehuda is that one teaches us not the korban of a goy, second one teaches us not the korban of another yid, and the third one teaches us not the korban of an heir. And when it comes to partners, according to that first version, Rabbi Yehuda would say that in fact only one partner does it on behalf of all of them. Okay.
Sure.
What?
Can be any one of the partners?
And now Rabbi Yehuda has left over one team, Korbanoi, that he can use to teach us about where you have a bunch of partners that all of them share together in doing the smicha. So if we say it, if we explain it that way, then we don't have to say that he's arguing like this. The first version was we would say that he's arguing for mayor on 2 points. Number one, that he's arguing for mayor on 2 points. Number one, whether a Yodish does smicha. And number two, whether partners all do smicha or just one of them. Now, according to the second version, we don't have to say that. He's only arguing on 1 point. They all agree that when you have partners, then one person is going to do smicha on behalf of all of them. And the machlokes is just on the one thing. Does a Yodish do smicha or not? And do we have one karbana left over for that? Rabbi Yehuda would say that we do, because he combines together Guri's karban and another person's karban, another Yid's karban, under the same header. Therefore he has another karban available. And the mayor would disagree with that and say you need a separate pasuk for each one, therefore he doesn't have an extra one available for a Yodish. Next question. Okay, the next question we have to ask is, why does Rav Meir say that a Yodish does Torah? Tosfos points out, what do you mean? We just said, because you don't have a pasuk available for it. Still, though, Rav Meir is going to bring the ribui from the pasuk, but after all, that ribui we could have used for some other purpose. The ribui that we're going to bring from Homer Yomer, you would think that he could have used it for some other drasha, such as one of these ones about partners or whatever. So we have to understand why Rav Meir understands the pasuk in the way he does. So the mayor will answer you, because the pasuk says, "Im homer yomer, if exchange, he will exchange." That comes to include also an heir. Because you have a double expression over there. Homer yomer implies, in other words, you have an extra kind of tmura that otherwise you might not have been able to have. After all, the pasuk didn't have to say homer; it could have just said yomer behema. Homer yomer. That the Torah often has. We often say that comes to include something extra. Hoshif Teshivim, Ozev Tazev, etc. Hechayach Techayach. So over here, Homer Yomer, it can't mean obviously Homer Yomer is like a plural 100 times. For example, with Hechayach Techayach, Aphil Meir Palmim. So therefore, Meir says that the extra word the Homer Yomer comes to teach us that you also have a Yodish is able to make a Torah.
Why Dafka the Yodish? Why not somebody else?
Because the Yodish owns the carbon now. So if we're going to say that there's a ribui in the positive that you're able to make a tsmura where otherwise you would think that you couldn't have, most logically it's going to be about a Yodish.
There's no other possibility.
Well, so far, we don't have any other possibility. Shittim Kubetzes also points out that really what it is, it kind of comes out that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are taking really opposite, or are really coming at it from opposite points of view. Rabbi Yehuda needs an actual pasuk to say that the Yodish can't do smicha and tmura. If not for that, we would have said he could. Rav Meir needs a pasuk for the Yodish, meaning, in other words, by default, we would have assumed that not. So Shadur Kabetzis explains what it is they both agree the word karbonai is a mute. They both agree that a Yodish is like his father, is taking over from his father, therefore he ought to be able to do it. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that a Yodish, that we have the mute goes on a Yodish, and the ribui goes on a woman, that she's able to make a tomorrow. And Rav Meir would say that a Yodish you don't even need a pasuk for. So therefore, the only reason you need a pasuk is because of karbonai, which is a biot, so you would have thought to exclude the Yodish. So Homer Yomer comes to tell you that you shouldn't, that you shouldn't exclude him. So those are the perspectives that they're taking. They both do agree that if we didn't have any psukim over there, then yeah, we would say that the Yodish is more likely to be included. Okay. And so anyway, going back to the Gemara, the top of days on the days, the Yalif Soif Hektish Mitzchilas Hektish. So now Rav Meir is learning things the other way around. He's learning the end of Hektish, which is the Smicha, from the beginning of Hektish, which is the Gemara. Ma'atchilas hektish yodish meyer. Just like at the beginning of hektish, when it comes to making a smora, again, the mayor has his process here in Homer's Lama, which tells us, according to him, that a yodish is able to make a smora. So just like he's able to make a smora, hektish yodish smicha, the same way, when it comes to the end, the yodish is able to do smicha. Okay. So the question is now, what is Rabbi Yehuda doing with the ribui from Homer Yomer? A Yodish. What is Rabbi Yehuda using it for? He who says that a Yodish is a Tumura. So what is he bringing it from? What is he using it for? So the answer is, what?
Doesn't need the ribui because he said what?
Yeah, what is he using the ribui for? We have the Miurkin from Karbonai. Now we have a ribui, Homer Yomer. So what is Rabbi Meir doing with that? Rabbi Yehuda doing with that? The answer is Lulabas as a Isha. He says it comes to include that a woman is able to make a tumura. The Chidatanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, now why do we need a Ribui for that? Lufisha kola in and kola enim gaba el b'loshim. The whole portion, the whole pasuk over there that talks about making a tumura is written in masculine form. He may not exchange it. He may not swap it out. Which now, it is true that usually things in Torah are written in Moshe Dessa. So usually a lot of times we say there's no particular significance in that it means that it's only men, not women, unless we have a particular mirror to that effect. But in this case, Rashi points out that after all, the Pasuk didn't have to say it in masculine form at all. It could have said it in direct form. Instead of saying it in third person, he should not exchange it, he should not swap it out, it could have said, Loi tachli fenu, you should not swap it out, and then it would be equally well men and women. Right. So given that instead it uses dafka masculine expression, isha minayin, so then we have to ask, where do we know that, mase fenu l'rabas is isha, is Rashi Tirsa, where after all are we getting to the marva a woman? The answer is Talmud Loimer, being Homer Yomer, L'Rabbis HaSeisha. So now, we're using it from Homer Yomer, because you have that double expression in the Pasuk, therefore it means both men and women. So that's Rabbi Yehuda is using the Homer Yomer for that. Okay. Ola Reb Meir Isha Menolei, okay, where's Reb Meir getting that a woman is able to make a Torah? We don't find him disagreeing on that point. The answer is Nafgalei Mivim. He learns it from the fact that the Pasuk says, after it says, and if he swaps out one animal for another, then they both have kedusha. So Reb Meir is learning from the vav of v'im. Rabbi Yehuda v'im loy darish. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darish in that vav. Therefore, he says I don't have any force to include that a woman is able to make a tzmura unless we can use the word homer yomer for that. So once he's using it for that, he doesn't have it available for a yodish, whereas a mayor does, and therefore the mayor says that a yodish is able to make a tzmura, and Rabbi Yehuda says that now. Okay.
It's because it's fine.
What? Yeah. Okay. So the next question is like this. Ubein Rabbi Meir, Ubein Rabbi Yehuda. Now, let's go back. We're saying that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you need some kind of limud to teach us that a woman who makes a tzmura, that a woman is able to make a tzmura. So we have to ask why. Taima de Rabbi Krala Isha. So you're telling me only because the Pasuk gives us a special ribui that a woman is able to make a tzmura, and that she's not allowed to. Hale Rabbi Krala Hava Aminati of the tzmura Leilachia. So what does that mean then? So we would have thought if there was no ribui in the Pasuk, would we think that if a woman declares a tzmura, and the Gemara is assuming at this point, there's no particular reason to think that a woman can't produce a tzmura, that she can't say this animal is instead of that one, and that it should be effective. There's no particular reason. The same way as women can bring carbonus, the same way they should be able to make a tzmura. The question is, the Gemara is assuming that if we're saying we needed a special ribui, it wasn't to teach us that they can make a tzmura, it was to teach us that if they make a tzmura, they're getting malchus just like men. So the question is why? Hava minaki abda tzmura loilachia. What would you think? And if a woman were to declare a tzmura which she's over on the same issue as the man is, you're telling me you would think she wouldn't get malchus, and therefore you need the closest to be telling us that she gets malchus. Well, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, didn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav, b'chein tonet vei Rabbi Shmuel, and we also learn in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the post Ish or Icha ki yasu mikol chatas adam. The pasuk says, if a man or a woman commit any of the averus that a person might do, And therefore, when it says ish or isha, then it means hishra kosev isha le isha solinch and shabbatorah. The Torah is equating men and women as far as all the punishments in the Torah. Wherever, with a couple of exceptions, you have a couple of exceptions of lavim that are not binding on women. For example, male kohenim aren't allowed to become tamei. Women in their families are a couple of exceptions, but basically, any lav that applies to men applies to women, and any punishment for that lav that applies to men, be it malchus or kares or Mrs. Bastin or having to bring a korban or whatever, you have applies equally well to women. So once we know, and it's a matter of simple svara that a woman is able to declare tomorrow, why do we need a special pasuk to tell us that she gets the same punishment as a man would if he did that? The answer is itzrich. Yes, but there's still a chiddush in it that we need to be told. Because sakhra de chamina, you would think like this. You would think otherwise like this. Hani mili, when would we say that a woman is chayav for making a tmura? Oynesh deshova bein biyachid bein betzibur. When you have a punishment for an avera which is equally well relevant to the individual or to the tzibur, then you can say, okay, it's also equally individual, it's also equally relevant to a man or to a woman. Now over here, it's not a punishment that applies equally to everybody, because we're going to learn later on in our Masechta. We're going to say, we're going to talk about at the beginning of the third parak. We're going to say that if the tzibur is not able to make a tmura, if they declare a tmura of one of their korbanos, then nothing happens. So the punishment of making a tmura doesn't apply to the tzibur. We learn in the Mishnah there, einan tzibur vashutvin osin tmura, the tzibur for a korban tzibur, or partners who own a korban in partnership are not able to make a tmura. Ishanami ki avdalilakia. So you would think by the same token, if a woman makes a tmura, she wouldn't be getting malchus for it. Because you would think, again, that she would only get malchus for something that applies equally well to individual men as well as to the tzibur. Kamash Malon, and that is why we need the pasuk. That's why we need the ribui in the pasuk to tell us that not only that she's able to make a tmura, which we would have known anyway, but also that she's going to get the same punishment for it.
Otherwise, you would have thought what?
Otherwise, you would have thought that she doesn't. You would have thought that okay, she. You would have thought there's three cases over here. You would say an individual man is able to make a tmura and gets malchus for it. An individual woman, you would think, is also able to make a tmura but does not get malchus for it. Or actually, let's throw that out the other way. You would say like this: an individual man is not able to make a tmura, is able to make a tmura and gets malchus for it. The tzibur is not able to make a tmura and because they're not able to, then get malchus for it. And
tzibur,
what?
I lost you. The man can make a tmura.
An individual man can make a tmura and get malchus if he does. The tzibur is not able to make a tmura, and because they're not able to, they don't get malchus. You would think this concept that we're saying that a woman gets the same punishments in the Torah as a man does, you would think that only applies to things that either when one individual does it, he gets the punishment, and if a whole bunch of people do it, they also get the punishment. And most of us in the Torah, there's no difference between an individual and a tzibur. An individual breaks Shabbos, they get punished. A tzibur breaks Shabbos, they also get punished. You know, an individual steals, he has to pay back. A bunch of people steal, they all have to pay back. Here we have something unique where an individual does it and it's an avera, and he's over on something which makes him chayav malchus, and the tzibur, maybe they're over, maybe not. They after all did do a lo yachlifenu or a lo yamarase. We're just saying that it doesn't take effect because we're going to learn later on about the thinking that it doesn't take effect. But still, you could argue maybe that they did do an avera. It happened to be an avera that didn't have an effect. So therefore, you would think maybe it's different with a woman, that maybe she's not going to get penalized for it either. And therefore, Kamash Malon, that is why we need the prophet to be telling us that it doesn't mean something different here for the tzibur. Nevertheless, tmura is equally well also and punishable for a woman.
Why would you think a woman would not get a punishment?
We just said it three times, Avraham Moshe, because there's a difference here between the yochid and the tzibur. The yochid is over on an issur and getting a punishment. The tzibur is maybe over on the issur, but they're not getting the punishment. So therefore, you would think that the woman, you would think that when do we say that hishra kosev ishal ish, that men and women get the same punishment, only when it's an avera, where the punishment, where the avera and the punishment is the same for the yochid and for the tzibur. Here it's not.
Right.
So therefore, you would think that it's different, and therefore we need the pasuk to tell us now. Which pasuk? Again, according to Rav Meir, it's the vav of the word ve'im, and according to Rav Yehuda, who doesn't doubt in vavs, he learns it from Homer Yom. Okay. Boy Rami Bachama. Okay, Rami Bachama now has a question like this. Katan Ma'ush Yomer. Is a katan below bar or bas mitzvah able to make a tumura? So the question is, the Gemara says, "Hey, Kidami, what's the scenario? Ilema b'katan shleigia la'onis nedarim. If we're talking about a child who's below the age of nedarim, as we've learned before, you have like this: you have a child once they become bar or bas mitzvah, then their nedarim are fully in effect. Anything that they any neder, any hekdesh, or whatever it is fully in effect, even if they don't know that a neder is addressed to Hashem, and hekdesh is addressed to Hashem, and so forth, even if they're dumb and they don't know that, nevertheless, their neder is still a neder, etc. If they're more than 1 year before Bar or Bas Mitzvah, then their nedarim have no effect, even if they know that a neder is addressed to Hashem. During the 1 year before they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah, it's called Muflah Samach L'ish, or L'isha, then we have, it depends. So then it depends. If we have to ask them, do you realize you just made a neder? Do you realize that is addressed to Hashem? You promised something to Hashem. Or you declared something like this. Do you realize that means now that this is going to be a korban, which is a korban, whatever that habayis, which is going to be a mitzvah? If they say yes, then it's an effect. If they say no, then not. So that year is called Muflah HaSamach L'ish. It's also called Onas Nedarim, the period of Nedarim, the period when the Nedarim may or may not have effect. So if we're talking about a child, so what's Rami Bachama asking? If we're talking about a child who's below the age of Onas Nedarim, below 12 for a boy or 11 for a girl, there's no question. He obviously is not able to declare something. He's not able to declare something like this. Amuri Meimer, what makes you think he'd be able to declare a Tmura? Ella, keep coming by your leg, cotton tree, deal, onus nedarim. So the question would be, on a child who's within the onus nedarim, they're within a year before bar or bas mitzvah. So actually, Shittim Kubetis points out, it's actually a machloikus in a few places in Shas, this concept of mufwa, samukh l'ish, is it daraisa or d'rabbanan? So if we say it was daraisa, then the tmura and it was effective, then the tmura would be effective. They're not going to get malchus. A child below bar or bas mitzvah is not getting malchus. But nevertheless, the tmura would take effect on a daraisa level. And if you said that, then if you said it was only dirabanan, but the nedarim are valid, then it would take place, then it would take effect on a dirabanan level. So what is it? Do we say that yes, since they're able to miyam rinan kiven de almamar ish? Do we say like this? Since we say in Nedarim, when the pasuk says ish, you know, the pasuk mentions in connection with a nazir, it starts by saying it says ish, a man, ma tamad loymar ki yasli neder. So what is the pasuk adding by continuing if he declares, yasli means he pronounces a neder of being a nazir, means l'rabis muflas samach l'ish. It means it comes to include this muflas samach l'ish, this child below, within 1 year before bar or bas mitzvah, kodshe kodesh, where his kodshim have validity. If he declares an animal kodshim, then it works. So now the question becomes, during that time, since he's able to make a korban kodesh, midak dushi makdish, given that he's able to declare a korban kodesh, amuri nami name, you could argue that maybe he's able to also declare a tmura, or dilma, maybe not, given the lav bar oinshinbu, since he's not yet of the age of penalties, because he has to be 13 before he'd be able to get malchus. So you could argue he doesn't have the strength. He has the strength to make an original animal kodesh, but not to make a tmura, where after all, a tmura, as we said, is an avera and involves malchus, and he's below the age of malchus.
Making something kodesh seems to
be more. He can make an original animal kodesh. Yeah.
So you would think of Kisara, I mean, not maybe not Al Pitura, but someone making something Kaddish is more powerful than someone making the Smura.
Well, that's the point. That's what the Gemara is saying. You would think that maybe this Mufla Samach Laish has the ability to make. He has the ability to make an original korban, but maybe he doesn't have the ability to make a. Maybe he doesn't have the ability to make a tamura, because the original korban is the original korban is something. The original korban is something that for sure he has the power to do as a mukwa samuklish, but maybe making a new korban out of the old one, which also involves an avera, maybe he doesn't have the ability to do that, given that he's not punishable for that avera.
The thing is, okay. More of a chidur, no, a new korban, make a new korban a tamura than to make something that was chuling kaddish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this case, no, because in this case, he's also making something whole and fetish. The difference is, when he declares an original animal a korban, fine, you're doing a mitzvah. You're declaring something a korban. Here, over here, you're doing something which makes you chayav malchus. So you could argue that maybe a child who's not of the age yet to be chayav malchus is not of the age to make a tamura yet.
Yeah, he could do a tamura without adding malchus because he's a child.
That's the question. Do we say that those things are tied together? Do we say that once he's able to make an original kedusha, he's also able to make a tamura, and therefore the answer would be yes, his tamura is effective, and obviously he's not getting malchus? Or would we say that no, a tamura is a tamura only if the person can also be subject to malchus for it? Which, fine, a man and a woman, we said, are able to make a tamura, they're both subject to malchus for it, but a child is not subject to malchus. You could argue maybe he can make an original kedusha, but not a tamura. Okay. Continues the Gemara. In Kimsaloymar, or even if you're going to say cotton of a tamura, maybe you're going to say that yes, cotton could make a tamura, because after all, you could argue that a child, fine, right now he's not of the age of Einshin yet, because he's 12 or she's 11. But eventually they're going to be of the age of Einshin. Eventually they're going to be Bar Bat Mitzvah. So maybe you could argue that they are able to make a tamura. Well, you have to ask the question, then what about the goy able to make a tamura? Mi amret midak dushi makdish. Would we say that since a goy is able to be makdish a korban, the Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, ish matam lema ish. Why does the pasuk mentions in Parashas Emor, it talks about if any person brings a korban. So we say why the double expression ish. From there we learn that a goy, just like a yid, is able to vow in a dorim or a davis and bring them as a korban. We went back in the Nachas. We had a machlokas. What types of korbanos are they able to bring under those rules? Everybody agrees that they can bring an ola. We had a machlokas there whether they can bring a shlomim as well. Whatever it is, the point is that they're able to bring korbanos. Amuri nami namu. Therefore, we could argue that a goy is also able to make a tamura. Or Yuma, maybe not. Or on the other hand, maybe not. Given the loyosi lechwal einshin, you could argue that a goy, unlike an adult yid, or even unlike a Jewish child, is never going to be of the age of einshin. I mean, they could become a ger, obviously, but that's a different thing. A person becomes a ger, they become a whole new entity. Gershin is kind of crunch and oil. But as in their current status as a goy, they're never going to be a bar einshin, because all they have is shevim mitzvos min noyach, and making a tamura is not one of them. So therefore, you could argue that ki ovid tamura like kodesh. You could argue that maybe if he makes a tamura, then it's not kodesh. So that's the question. So now the Gemara is going to go and try to analyze the question. But it's interesting, by the way. Usually the Rambam's rule is that when you have two questions in the Gemara and they're tied together with imtim salama, then usually it means that we've established what the halacha is like on the first one. But over here, the Rambam leaves the first one as a suffix also. The Rambam writes, it's a suffix whether a cotton is able to create a tamura or not. I'm not sure why, but maybe that has to do with why Hagar Zabach and Shitim Kobetis add the word Va'afilu in Tim Soloimar. Maybe they would say it's different. A regular in Tim Soloimar is one thing, but Afilu in Tim Soloimar maybe is something else. Maybe different rules apply to it. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, so that's the question then. Is it goy able to make a tamura? Amar Rava Toshma, Titania. We learn in a brisa. Kodshe Otkachavim Lenanim Lemailin. Kodshim that Goyim designated for the Beis Mikdash. You're not allowed to have Hanah from them. However, if you did, you have not committed Me'ilah. The reason is, the Gemara is going to explain later, because it's only also Bahanah on the Jewish woman. Only a Jew's Kurban is also Bahanah on a Daraisa level. A Goy's is not, so the Jabbanon is, but the general rule, and we're going to have this when we get to Masech and Me'ilah next month, that's the Shem, we're going to talk over and over again, we're going to have this expression, Lenin and Glen Meilin, and 99% of the time, what it means is, if not more, it means that the thing is also in Me'ilah Midrabanan, not Midaraisa. So over here, so Kodshim of Goyim are like that, Lenin and Glen Meilin. The Ein Chayovin Alein Mishum Pigul Moser Vatame. Also, a person is not chayav for them for the dinim of Pigul or Noso or Tame. In particular, in other words, a person is not chayav Kores for eating them if they Pigul Moser Vatame. Ein Oisin Tamura. Continues the Brais, but also Kachim of Goyim are not able to make a Tamura. The Ein Mavim Nesochim, and Goyim do not bring the Goyim do not bring Nesachim. Now we have actually the word Aleihem in parenthesis. Ein Mavim Aleihem Nesachim would mean we don't bring Nesachim for them. However, Rashi says we shouldn't have that because the fact of the matter is that if a Goy sends a korban from a different country, we have a Mishnah in Shkolim that says that based in Medes Akana that if the Goy sends along money for Nesachim, then we accept it, and if not, then we bring the korban. If not, then we bring the Nesachim, and have to go with the korban, Michel Tzibur, from the funds of the Tzibur. So it can't be, Rashi says, the Girsa can't be Ein Mavin Aleihem Nesachim, we don't bring Nesachim for them, because the fact of the matter is, you do bring Nesachim. Either he sent money for Nesachim himself, or we give Nesachim on his behalf. So Rashi explains, the Girsa is supposed to be Ein Mavin Nesachim, which means that unlike a Yid, who is able to bring the Sachim by themselves, as we learned in Menachos, a person can make a neder to bring just the Sachim, flour, wine, and oil by themselves, and it will be acceptable. A Goy cannot do that. The Sachim can only be with a korban that he brings. Ava korban eton, the Sachim, give Reb Shimon. But Reb Shimon continues, his korban does require the Sachim. Again, so there's two possibilities, therefore. Either he sent money for Nesachim with the korban itself, and then we take that money and we use it to buy the flour, the wine, and the oil, and we match them with the korban. Or if he didn't, then we bring the Michel Tzibur. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yosi, b'kulan ani roi lahachmir. Rabbi Yosi says, I disagree about all these things that you're saying that Me'ilah doesn't apply to it on a Daraisa level, and Pigul and Noser and Tomei don't apply, etc. When it comes to korbanos of goyim. So Rabbi Yosi says, I agree about what you're saying about Nesachim, says Rabbi Yosi to Reb Shimon. But as far as the rest of it, this that you're saying, that Me'ilah doesn't apply to them Daraisa, and that Pigul, Moser, and Tomei don't, that Rabbi Yosi says I disagree with. Okay. Continues the Braisa, continues Reb Shimon, going back to his point. When does all this apply that Me'ilah does not apply to a goy's korban? That is when it's kodshim mizbeach, when it was an actual korban. Aval b'kodshe bedek abayis, but when it comes to kodshe bedek abayis, moylan behen then Reb Shimon would agree that Me'ilah does apply to them on a daraisa level. Okay, so that's the braisa. Rashi refers over here to the Gemara in Zvachim, which gives a reason for that. You all have greater kedusha than kodesh bedek abayis. Why we say Me'ilah applies to kodesh bedek abayis but not kodesh mizbeach? The whole concept that Me'ilah shouldn't have, according to Reb Shimon, that Me'ilah shouldn't apply to korbanos of goyim, we learn by Zera Shava from Truma. Truma has kedushas and guf. Therefore, we should apply it only to things that have kedushas and guf. Kodesh bedek abayis don't have kedushas and guf. They have kedushas damim. Therefore, there's no reason to exclude them from the dinim of Me'ilah, says Reb Shimon. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so that, what?
What has, what doesn't have kedushas and guf, only kedushas damim.
We're not learning that, but we can't. Yeah, we can't learn that from Truma, because it's obviously very dissimilar to Truma. Truma has kedushas and guf.
Well, but something that has kedushas and guf does does have Me'ilah, right?
When it's from a Jew, yes, because the concept, because the point is we're learning from Truma. Just like there's no such thing as Truma from a Goy. If a Goy designates Truma, I think we had this in Bechoris, if a Goy designates Truma, nothing happens. Maybe Midrabanan, we say it has a little bit of Kedusha, so we don't get careless with it or something, but on a Jared Eisel level, definitely it doesn't. Truma only applies, like most mitzvahs, only applies to Jews. So we would say anything which is like Truma in having Kedusha as a Goof, then it doesn't apply if it was designated by a Goy, such as a carbon. Kotcha Bedek Abayis is a whole different thing. Kotcha Bedek Abayis don't have Kedusha Zagof. They only have Kedusha Zdamim. Therefore, Reb Shimon argues that therefore Reb Shimon would say that Me'ilah does apply to them. Okay. Katani Mia now. So okay, the bottom line is, so that was the Braisa. In any case, the Braisa said Ein Oisin Tmura. We started by saying that Kotcha Every Kavim Ein Oisin Tmura. They can't make a Tmura. Now Ein Oisin Tmura could have argued that it means that you could say it just means that a Yisrael is not able to make a Torah with a Goy's carbon. But there's no particular Chiddush in that. We're going to learn later on that you can't, if I remember correctly, we're going to have later on in the Masechta, that you can't make a Torah with somebody else's carbon. So when we say Einos and Torah, it has to mean that he himself, we're going to have certain rare cases where it is possible to make a Torah, with somebody else's carbon. And it has to be the person made special. One second. Okay. So it can't mean, when we say Ein Oisin Tmura, it's not gonna mean that a Yisrael is not able to make a tmura with the Goy's carbon, because there's no place to recruit from that. Generally speaking, you can't make a tmura with somebody else's carbon anyway, unless under certain special conditions. So it has to be, what we mean is that the Goy himself can't make a tmura. So there you go, there's your answer, Rami Bachama. You're asking if a Goy is able to make a tmura, the answer is no. However, the Gemara says that's not enough of a proof, because Rami Bachama can answer to that not necessarily. If a Goy designated the carbon for a Goy to be miskaper with, where he designated it to be brought on behalf of a Goy, whether himself or another Goy, I guess it doesn't really matter, then there's no question, obviously he's not able to make a tomorrow. He come with boyly, but says Rami Bachama, what is the question that I have is the hikdish of Gechavim or miskaper be Yisrael. The question is, if a Goy designated a korban on behalf of a Yisrael. So there was a particular Yisrael, for example, that had to bring a certain korban, and a Goy designates an animal to be used for that. Are we able to make a tomorrow with that? The question is, Bosom Makdish as Linen, or Bosom Escapin as Linen? Are we going based on the one who made it Kaddish, and that case is a Goy? Then in that case, nothing happens. Or Bosom Escapin as Linen? Or do we go according to the Escapin, who is a Yisrael, and just as a Yisrael was able to make a tomorrow on his own carbon, so also a tomorrow would apply over here also? That's the question. Okay. So the question is, almost a Tifshit. Yeah, so the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, Tifshit Lemid Rabba Bohu, why, by the way, Tosfos points out, I mean, when it comes to Rami Bachama's question, we could have easily answered that Rami Bachama is asking according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that Goyim can make a Tzmura. However, the Gemara wanted to find a way that Rami Bachama's question would work according to everybody, even according to Rav Shimon. So the question is, Tifshit Lemid Rabba Bohu, why does Rami Bachama have the question? Let him be able to answer it on the basis of what Rabba Bo said. To Amr Abba Bo, Amr Abba Yechonon, Hamakdish Moisif Choymesh, there's a number of cases we've had so far in Seder Kodshim, where you can have an original owner and then you have somebody else. So number one is Hamakdish Moisif Choymesh. If a person declared something Kodesh, then he wants to buy it back from Hekdish, he has to add a fifth. But on the other hand, if a person makes a tmura and then he wants to buy that tmura back from Hekdish, then he does not pay an extra chomish for that. Number two, umeskaper oita tmura. On the other hand, when it comes to making a tmura, it's not the original animal, not the original owner, rather, who's able to make a tmura. It's the one who's going to have the kapara from this animal. He's the one who's able to make the tmura. So in that case, that would answer this question, because in this case, if a goy designated on behalf of a Jew, then fine, the Jew is the miskaper, so he'd be able to be the one who makes mara. And number three, Rabbi Abahu says, another din, if a person gives truma from his produce on behalf of somebody else's, tovas hana shaloi, the tovas hana belongs to the one who declared the truma, not the one on whose behalf it was declared, meaning, number one, that he can give it to whatever kohen he wants, and number two, as we learned in Bechoros, and more recently in Erechin, you could have a case where Yisrael comes to him and offers him a couple of bucks to give the truma to his nephew who's a kohen, or to his grandson who's a kohen, whatever. That's Torah Tanah. Anyway, the point is that we see that Rav Abahu is clearly saying that the miskaper is the one who is able to make the tumara. So there's your answer. The miskaper over here is the Jew. The one who designated the korban is a guy. There's your answer. And we should be able to make a tumara with it. The answer is, the Gemara says no. Omalei, Rami Bachama answers, or the Shittim Gwaza takes out Omalei, because we're not really having a discussion between somebody else and Rami Bachama. We're having a discussion between the stump of the Gemara and Rami Bachama. Anyway. You could say like this, Rami Bachama doesn't like that answer because in that case, we're talking about he's coming from the koyach of a Yisrael. What happened? Reuven designated a korban on behalf of Shimon. So both of them are Jews. And therefore, you could say that therefore we say that you go according to the miskaper, because the Havalei Tchilos, the Sofer, the Yad Yisrael, the bottom line is you have the beginning and the end of the Kedusha of this korban were by Yisrael. Because so Reuven was the one who designated it. Shimon is the one who's going to be brought in his hand. So therefore, whether you go, so fine, we're going according to the miskaper, but the fact of the matter is, both of them are the chlal ancient. Both of them are subject to punishment, minatorda. Avol hocha, hocha kamibayalei. But over here, Rami Bachama's question is like this. Mi ba'inin mitchila v'adsoif, do we need that from the beginning through the end of the status of this korban, of the life of this korban as a korban, does it need to be the takeover shus manda of a tmura? Does it need to be in the possession of somebody who's able to make a tmura? Which, again, as long as it's in the possession of the guri, it's not. Once he's doing it on behalf of the Yisrael, then the Yisrael is able to make a tmura. So therefore, we would say that it has to be by Yisraelim the whole time in order for a tmura to be made. And the answer is Kekul. It's left open, so it's a suffix whether in that case a tmura can be made with that. And as I said before, the Rambam also leaves it as a suffix whether a cotton who's within onus nedum, is able to make a tmura. So the answer in both cases would be that the korban, the answer in both cases would be that the animal is a suffix tmura. It's a suffix tmura, which we'll deal with later on. We'll deal later on in the Masechta. We'll deal with what we do with status. In the case of the child, obviously, he's not going to be getting malchus either way. But in the case of the korban that was designated by the goy and offered on behalf of the yid, then we would say that if the yid made a tmura with it, he's not getting malchus either because of the suffix.
Okay. That's it? Hello?
Okay. So that's that, and we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem.
When are you coming back?
Early next week, Beth Hashem, if all goes well, but we'll see.
Okay.
So for the time being, it'll be on the phone.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.